Good morning, and good to see all of you. Again, welcome to Ledrock Community Church and Ely, Minnesota. What a great place to be year-round, but what an especially great place to be during the summer. What a beautiful spot to go. I love the lakes and the opportunities for so much just enjoying creation. I was with a friend this weekend, and he said, boy, the original landscaper got it right. He really did, and we can see that all around us. Good to gather here in this place and just praise and worship Jesus together. Speaking of Ely and its beauty and its majesty and enjoying it during the summer, I know some of you are what we call snowbirds. I've had a conversation with some, and they're like, what's the difference between a snowbird and a summer person? And a summer person and a snowbird, and like, I don't know. I think it's snowbirds are here during the year. This is their home, and they travel. They fly south for a little bit in the winter, and then they fly back when the snow is gone, and they wuss out, in other words. But then summer people live somewhere else because they're afraid of the minus 30 degree temperatures. Anyway, that's why God created mukluks and wintergreen and all that. But any which way, they live somewhere else, and then they fly up here during the summer and live here for a while, and then they go back home. Either way, that makes up some of you. Some of you in here are snowbirds, and some of you are summer people. Many of us get to travel in different times of the year, different places on vacations, trips, and tours, and things like that. We like to travel. We enjoy where we're at. But isn't there something really special about just being home? Home, wherever that is, whether it's here in Ely, and I imagine many of you, even if you live somewhere else for more months of the year than you live here, Ely just has a way of being home. Home for all of us. You remember the classic movie, The Wizard of Oz? And Dorothy travels around. She gets blown to this land of Oz, and she goes on a great adventure. And she meets many, many neat characters, and lots of cool things happen. Neat stuff going on in Oz. Some scary, but some really powerful stuff. But the key, really, to all of it was she realized that there's no place like home. She traveled back home. She had to click her little ruby slippers, right? How many times? Three times. Good job. So she realized there was no place like home. What is it? Some of you that have traveled a lot, to travel even coming here, does this feel like home? What are some things? Help me out. What are some things that you enjoy about home? Why do you like home? Shout it out and just tell me. Tradition? Okay. Familiarity. All right. We like that. Hang on. We're getting there. Familiarity. Absolutely. You know where the salt and pepper are, don't you? All right. Bed.
Your own bed.
Your own. Oh my goodness. How great is your own bed? And what about your own pillow? How many travel with your own pillows? Like, do you take your pillow? Yeah. We sleep better in our own bed with our own pillow. All right. What else?
My wood stove.
Oh, when it's 85 degrees, Gary likes his wood stove. To cook his pork and beans, his moose meat and beans. No, absolutely. The wood stove, when you're gone and it's cold, the wood stove is awesome. Okay, a couple more.
Church family.
Ooh, that's a good spiritual, especially your pastor, right? All right, what else?
Friends.
Okay, friends. Ooh, family. Well, what if your family's somewhere else? How about this, a church family, a family of your community, that's always home, isn't it? One more. Go to Gary's and you can have both sauna and wood stove and all of that good stuff. It's fun to think about home. I mean, traveling is great, but getting home is better. When we get home, we can finally rest. I don't know about you, but it's hard to truly rest. I mean, I'll be at the deck in the Smoky Mountains with, you know, the big covered porch with some coffee. That was certainly a good place of some rest. But it's nice to be home and rest and truly relax and recover from, well, from our travels, from the busyness and the hecticness of traveling, and today the busyness of paying for gas, to rejuvenate. It's nice to be home because it's safe. Don't you feel safe at home and secure? safe and secure home is peaceful. That's part of that wood stove and the family and the friends and the bed. It's peaceful at home. Trips and tours are nice, but really there is no place like home. Home is better. Today we're in the book of Psalms, Psalm 62. And if you're trying to find that, Psalms is basically dead smack in the middle of your Bible. And Psalm 62 is the one immediately after Psalm 61. Good job. You guys are on it today. Psalm 62, another psalm, a lot of the psalms were written by David. And David wrote such praise and worship of God. That's what the book of Psalms, you could say songs or poems. We want to always read Scripture, understanding what it's about. And Psalms is one that we read because of the power and the beauty and the majesty of God that's spoken in these songs and poetry. We want to be careful about theology and doctrine from songs. It refers to God as a mother hen gathering her chicks under her wings. Well, God is certainly not female and he's not a chicken. And we're not chicks or unless you're a woman and you want to be called a chick, and I get that, that's fine too. But we're not. And so Psalms is beautiful and powerful, but be careful as we read it, understanding always the context and what's happening. Well, today in Psalm 62, David, I mean, it's just a classic psalm of deliverance and praise to God for his power and protection. And David speaks very clearly about who our God is. And we're going to learn today from David in this psalm, the 62nd psalm, about the God that we have available to us and what is truly available in and through our God, the God that we're here to praise and worship. Look at Psalm 62 with me, the first 8 verses. King David writes, and he says, "I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. How long will you threaten a man? Will all of you attack as if he were a leaning wall or a tottering fence? They only plan to bring him down from his high position. They take pleasure in lying. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge." Pray with me. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we continue worshiping you this morning as we bow our heads in recognition of you and your majesty and your sovereignty. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for your word, for its power. Lord, we thank you for this message that you've given to me. And Father, I ask that you, through your Holy Spirit, will speak your word and your truth through me this morning, boldly and clearly. And Lord, I ask you to open up each of our hearts and minds to better and more clearly understand who you are, what we have available in you, and how it is that we can connect with you. Lord, we love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church family said, amen. As nice as it is to get home and all the great things we have at home, we're going to learn today from this 62nd psalm how much better it is, how much more we have available in our God. Let's look at David's life for a minute. Wow, is David a monumental character recorded in the history, that is the Old Testament in Scripture. David, unique situation, obviously called by God as a young man to be the king of Israel, a young man. And David loved the Lord. Of all of David's many amazing attributes, loving the Lord with all of his heart and soul and strength is his single greatest. God could use David for many, many things because of David's heart for the Lord. Know that above everything else, was David perfect? Absolutely not. But he still could love God with everything, and God could use David in amazing ways. And so here's David, this young man, now growing up, loving the Lord, and then called to lead God's people, the nation of Israel, as their second king. And the first king, King Saul, didn't want David around. And so here's David called to lead God's people. Imagine that, if God came to you at night in a dream or a vision and said, by the way, you're not going to just become a pastor, but you're going to lead the entirety of all of my people on the earth, and you're the one that they're going to look to for leadership. And that's David. That's David's life, called to lead the nation of Israel, and now he's a great warrior fighting lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Did you catch that one? Okay. I think that was pretty darn good. Wars and fighting. Every king around there wanted to kill David. They wanted to overthrow David and take Israel, this promised land, leading God's people, fighting with God's people against everyone that isn't God's people. And by the way, were God's people perfect? No. He's leading rebellious people, people that are turning away from God time after time, losing an infant at near birth, having, again, neighboring kingdoms and empires and armies trying to kill him, having a broken family, a son trying to kill him as well. And we don't know how many wives David had. Lots of wives and some concubines. David leading all of this with all of these people, and imagine what home life is like. Wow. Wow. David had a lot going on. And listen to David's heart. Verse 1. With all of that happening, he says, I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. Many of us, you and I, today especially, here, boy, are we busy. Busier than ever before. Busy, busy, busy. Tired. Maybe more tired than ever before. Busy and tired and stressed because of life and all the things that come at us so frequently. Am I alone? And does it seem like, man, every day there's just dozens and dozens of things coming at us? These phones that we carry, dinging and ringing and blinging and all of that stuff with important information, and always available and always in touch. Busy, stressed, tired. It's the new normal. The easier it seems, the easier that technology makes life, the more stressed and tired we become, the more hectic life actually gets. Vacation and time away are nice. They're very important. But it's not enough. I think that all of us, you and I, boy, we always need to evaluate our lives and see where we're at and take a hard look at how we budget our time. How available do we really need to be to how many people? Just say no, turn it down, turn it off, leave it in a different room, and just unplug, unwind, and truly find rest at its deepest source, at its real source. Vacations can help us get rest, but real rest doesn't come from home. It actually comes from our God. Take a hard look at our lives and our priorities and our time management, because the Lord knew that we would need rest. He said, Jesus, King Jesus said in Matthew, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He even says later, rest for your souls, which is what we desperately need. And David says, amongst such a chaotic, hectic, scary, trying and challenging life, he says, I am at rest in God alone. I'm at rest in you, O God. My salvation comes from you, O God. Traveling is great, and seeing amazing things is wonderful, but I tell you what, my recliner is better. At least after the trip, my recliner is better. When I walked in from this last trip down to the Smoky Mountains, my recliner, it was like there was a beacon shining on it. It was calling out my name. Sit on me. It's been almost 2 weeks, and I did. I unloaded the truck and got all that stuff put away, and then sat in it. The recliner is great, but better rest actually comes from God. David knew that, and he says that. Verse 2, he says, speaking of this God, he says, He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. David, again, had kings imagine nearly every country and nation in the world and their kings, their leaders, their authorities, and their armies coming after you. You personally, they know your name, they know where you live, and they want to kill you. David had kings and armies and nations and even his own son chasing him and trying to kill him, hunting him down. He also had many loyal followers, many loyal protectors, many like ultimate Navy SEALs that were on his side, that had his back, that were taking care of and watching over David. They were powerful, mighty men, mighty warriors, and they were protecting David, but he knew ultimately his salvation, his protection came from God, the God of heaven and earth. He knew that the Lord was his true source of protection and firm footing. Verse 3 and 4 are kind of a glimpse at what was going on in David's life. He uses this analogy of a fence, a teetering fence that people want to just knock it down like a weak wall. They want to topple it over and destroy it. Verse 3 and 4, he says, how long will you threaten a man? Speaking of his enemies, speaking of what had to feel like mountains of difficulties staring him in the face, he says, how long will you threaten a man? Will all of you attack as if he were a leaning wall or a tottering fence? They only plan to bring him down from his high position. They take pleasure in lying. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. Imagine just for a moment what David was going through, what life had to be like, going to bed at night and wondering, is someone going to sneak in and break in and take your life while you slept? What army is going to invade your border tomorrow? Who are you going to have to fight off? It had to be overwhelming. And here we live, fast forward 2022, we live in a world that is mixed up and messed up and all kinds of jacked up. We live in a day that's crazy, literally crazy all around us, and I'm sure it's scary to many of you. Inflation, what in the world? Don't answer, this is not your time to speak. But inflation is crazy. How much more can we take? I saw a friend post something about their 401k down a lot. Crazy, weird, bad stuff. Wars going on all around. Our kids are asking us questions. Dad, is this World War III? What's happening around the world, around the nation? Wars going on, and weather changes. Patterns are changing. Storms and winds and floods and droughts and heat and cold. Even worse than some of that is hatred that I hear almost on a daily basis. Hatred being spouted and taunted as normal and okay. Wrong has become right, and right has become wrong. And now when you're right, you're wrong. And when you're wrong, I guess now you're right. And it's weird. It's crazy. It's messed up. It's upside down. And the Bible says it's going to absolutely be that way. This isn't a surprise. It's been predicted. Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have lots of troubles. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. It's hard to have confidence in the world today. It's hard to have confidence in life today. And it can seem overwhelming at times, and it's certainly exhausting. We only have so much bandwidth, and we have friends and family and life, and then all of this going on. What are we to do? What are you and I to do, the church, born-again believers? Is there any hope? Well, the definition of hope, the biblical definition of hope, it's different than the world, by the way. The biblical definition of hope is the absolute assurance of an event that has not yet happened. Absolute assurance of a promise, an event, the future that has not yet happened. That's what biblical hope is. The world says, well, just hope that it doesn't rain or storm too bad tonight or hail or whatever, but we know it's going to. It's a 100% chance or whatever. And we throw the word hope around like it doesn't mean anything. That's not biblical hope. Hope is absolute, positive, rock, solid assurance. And David is telling you and I that we have hope available in our God, in this God that is all-powerful and all-knowing and everywhere at all times. David says that if you're a follower of the King of all kings, you can have hope and joy and peace and confidence in life, not because of your circumstances, not because of what's happening around you, but because of the power of our God. You can have joy in the midst of craziness and chaos and upside down world events, because our hope, our joy, our love, our peace, our patience, kindness and gentleness and all those things come from God, not what's happening around us. I know a lot of us were guilted into, we're led into by news and media and whatever to hope in the wrong things, to hope in the world, to hope in all the things the world says to put your hope into. And let me tell you, that hope is fleeting and it will fail. And the world will ultimately come crashing down. Our hope is in the Lord. Look at verse 6 and 7. He says, well, actually 5. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope is found in Him. Verse 6. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock. My refuge is in God. We sang a song a little bit ago about building our life upon the rock. The rock that is not like sand and sinking sand. It's the rock of ages, the rock, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. David says that God is his rock. When the world is coming after him, when everything around him, his own family are trying to kill him, that God is his rock and his refuge and his stronghold, his place of protection, his source of stability. When things are quaky and unwavering, he says, build your life upon the rock of ages, solid and secure. The Ancient of Days, my personal favorite name for God. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Rock of Ages, the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's always there. He always has been. And He alone always will be. David says of God, you're my rock, you're my fortress, you're my stronghold. But he also says, you're my salvation. You, God, are my salvation. Now, David's story was a little bit different than ours. See, again, David had many people coming after him, warriors and kings and armies. And he knew, even though he had an army that was very talented, gifted, and they were mighty men of valor themselves, and they were protecting David, David knew full well that, yes, they were helping, but God ultimately is his source of salvation. God, not men, saved David. God protected David's life, and David died of old age, not from an enemy's sword or spear. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. Maybe some of you do, but I don't have anyone coming after me with swords or spears. Do any of you? Sometimes disgruntled church members' tongues can seem a little bit sharp, like a sword or spear. Only one. Thank you. But most of us don't have enemies and armies trying to come after us with swords and spears. David was delivered and saved in a different way. Today, you and I have a much bigger enemy. That enemy is sin. The Bible teaches that sin is terrible and horrific. It's rebellion against God. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that that penalty, that problem with our sin is death. And so according to God's word, all of us have earned death and separation from God. But see, God delivered us in a very different way than David. While David was saved from physical enemies, you and I today, we've been delivered from spiritual darkness, from the consequences of sin, from sure death that sin brings on. You see, in the right moment in history, God himself left the glory of heaven and he came to earth in the form of a baby, Jesus, God the Son, born of a virgin. Jesus grew up and he lived a perfect, sinless life. And again, at the right moment in history, Jesus, the Lamb of God, went to Calvary's cross. And there on the cross, Jesus gave his life. He spilled his blood as the once and for all final payment for sin. They buried Jesus' body in a tomb and he laid there dead for 3 days. And on the third day, Jesus was resurrected from the dead back to life. And in so doing, Jesus won the greatest victory ever, the victory over sin and death and hell. And now the Bible teaches that by God's grace, anyone, through our faith, we can be saved. We can receive this deliverance from sin and its consequences because of Jesus, through a personal relationship with Jesus. That's the greatest gift that's ever been given. It's so cool to see what our God is like, who our God is, and what we have available in our God. All of us have locks on our homes back at home. Many of you have your doors locked right now. We live in a world, in a society, when we lock our doors. We have a lock. And when you travel and you come home, you need a key to get in, a key to get into your home. We've learned verses 1 through 7 about the amazing God we have, the amazing stuff that is available for us in our God: stability, security, protection, salvation. It's all there, available for us. But the question that we have to ask, is there a key for us to unlock all this cool stuff? There is. There's a home key, if you will, spelled out in verse 8. Verse 8 tells us how to unlock this God, the God of the universe that's waiting for you and I. Verse 8 says, trust in him with, at all times, you people, pour out your hearts before him, because don't forget, God is our home. God is our security. God is our refuge. What he's saying here in verse 8 is the key to unlock who God is and what God has done for us and what's available to us through God is spelled out right here. He says, trust. Trust in God. Trust in God alone. Trust in him at all times. What he means by that word trust is faith. Not just some trust, a little bit of trust, like I think today I'll trust in God, but tomorrow I'm going to go back to trusting in myself, in my own power. What he's talking about is put your faith, all your faith, everything you've got in God's basket, all your spiritual eggs right there in God. Trust in him sometimes, when it really gets scary or bad? No, he says at all times, you people, for you and I to unlock everything that God is, we trust in him. But what about when we're scared? What about when the news is really, really bad? He says, pour out your hearts before him. Isn't that beautiful? That this God that spoke everything into existence, that created humanity and the Rocky Mountains and the oceans and the sea and the land and the animals, all everything, he wants you and I to pour out our hearts before him. He's not so busy that he doesn't have time for each one of us. Isn't that cool? Isn't that amazing? A life of faith and of prayer is the key to unlock everything that our God is. God created you to know him, to love and worship him, and to have a relationship with him. That's what it means to have a life of faith and prayer with our God. Some of you have asked, you've summer folks or some snowbirds or whatever that have been gone, you've said, how do you like your new home? We call it the Harvey House, 1003 East Harvey, the Harvey House. We love it. Man, we love it. What a blessing from God to have. We love the parsonage. It's great, too. Its location is unique and special in its own way. The Harvey House is just something. We got to do some neat work. Some of you were involved in helping us to make it our own. It's wonderful. We love it, and thank you for asking. Many of you also have amazing homes. You have beautiful homes as well. All of us will agree we love being home. It's nice to travel. It's nice to be gone. It's better to be home. We love being home. Well, here's the thing about faith, this faith journey, this body of Christ that we are a part of, is if you're a born-again believer, your home actually isn't here. It's not here at all. The Bible teaches us that we have a home in a glorious heaven waiting for us. Jesus spells it in John 14. He says some cool stuff, but he tells his disciples, he says, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, because in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places for you. There are many homes for you, and I'm going to go and prepare them for you, because one day you're going to get to dwell there with me, because where I am, there you are going to get to be also. No matter how cool and amazing your home is here, ultimately your citizenship isn't even here on this earth. Our citizenship is in eternity, in heaven, in a place that's more glorious than we can ever even fathom. That's where our home actually is, and it's all because of Jesus that there truly is no place like home. Pray with me. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank you again for who you are and for what we have available in you. And Lord, I pray for each one of us today that we will take that next step to become closer to you, to unravel who you are and truly allow you to become all these things for us in our lives, maybe on a deeper level than ever before. So Lord, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you for who you are, and we just love you, Lord. Oh, Father, thank you again for this message. And may we ponder it throughout this week, and may it encourage us, and may you be glorified more and more through our lives. Oh, Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.